بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا رسول الله، صلى الله على أهل بيتك المظلومين الغر الميامين. صلى الله عليك يا مولاي وابن مولاي يا أبا عبد الله يا رحمة الله الواسعة ويا باب نجاة الأمة غريب يا مظلوم كربلة، فديت قتيلا بالطفوف مرملا وليس له غير الدماء ثياب طريحا على وجه الصعيد ورأسه على الرمح أطراف البلاد يجاب وزينب لما لاح رأس شقيقها Tragedies of Ahlul Bayt started on the day of Ashura. They started a mere few hours ago. The day of Ashura has two chapters. The first one ending on the afternoon of Ashura, and the other one beginning on the afternoon of Ashura. And the second one is still being written. It still hasn't ended. أخي Imagine Zainab عليه السلام addressing her brother Imam al-Hussein when she saw his head being taken up on the Allahu Akbar, how can I say this? Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, when his head was placed on the spear.
أخي سلبونا والسياط تنوشنا وليس لنا غير الأكف حجايا آمنا بالله ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم.
The level of obedience that people had towards Ahlul Bayt comes in varying shades and varying degrees. I'm not trying to preach here tonight, but just a few words to put us in the mood so that we could pick our position with regards to Imam al-Hussein. Imam al-Hussein is the frame of reference. Imam al-Hussein is the tool we use to gauge our actions. Imam al-Hussein is the ultimate litmus test We take him as an example, as a role model. And from then on, you could say whether you're a good person that follows Abi Abdullah al-Hussein in every step, or whether you're just someone who loves Ahlul Bayt. And there are many people like that, by the way, who love Ahlul Bayt, but their love is very much conditional. Their love has a lot of strings attached to it. There were people who joined Imam Hussein's camp, who accompanied him when he left the holy city of Mecca. Listen to this. Imam al-Hussein, up until the night of Ashura, some say up until the time he received news of Muslim ibn Aqil's death, he had 4,000 people with him. 4,000. Many of them, upon hearing the news of Muslim's death, realized this was no walk in the park. Because the reason they joined Imam Hussein's camp was the fact that they thought Imam al-Hussein was going to Kufa. He was going to somehow miraculously, magically topple the government of Yazid and the Umayyads, and he was going to place himself as the ruler of the Muslims. And somehow, I'm not saying that they all had ulterior motives, that they all wanted positions in Imam Hussein's government, but perhaps the majority thought they'd be joining Imam Hussein to go live a peaceful, beautiful life in the city of Kufa under the shadow, the glorious shadow of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein, which I'm sure would have been a beautiful thing. But their intention to join Imam Hussein's camp and to go with him to the city of Kufa was based on the condition that they would not have to sacrifice anything. They took this as a smooth sailing type of journey where they would go to Kufa and enjoy the rest of their lives in the company of Imam al-Hussein. Some of them even told Abi Abdullah al-Hussein, imagine this, you had people like Zuhair, like Burair, like Habib ibn Mudahir, like John the black slave, like the other companions of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein, who would say to the Imam, Ya Aba Abdullah, if this world was eternal, in other words, there was no death involved whatsoever, and for me to die would mean that I would have to sacrifice my eternal life, I would still rather die with you than live an eternal life. Another person, imagine this, when Imam al-Hussein, on the eve of Ashura, when he was dismissing his companions, in the sense that he was telling them, "Antum fi hillin an bayati," you no longer have any commitments towards me. You are relieved of your allegiance to me. You get to go. If you want, just leave. In fact, the Imam somehow encouraged them. His words seemed like he was encouraging them to leave. One of the people that the Imam spoke to was a man who the Imam told him to leave. You know how he responded to the Imam? He said to Abi Abdullah al-Hussein, "Akalatni sibaq." I would rather have the beasts and the lions eat my flesh alive than leave you alone. So you had this category. On the other hand, you had someone like this person who told the Imam, "Ya Abu Abdullah, I'll be with you. In fact, if there was a war, if there was a physical confrontation, I will fight in your cause, I will defend you, but only if I believe, and if according to my assessment, my sacrifice and my fighting would save your life. If my sacrifice didn't end up saving your life, I think of it as a fruitless sacrifice, as a futile sacrifice. So with this condition, I'll join your camp." The Imam accepted that condition. When he came, and the army of Umar ibn Sa'd showed up on the eve of Ashura, and he saw the multitudes of people, 30,000 according to the most conservative estimates. There are estimates that put the number of the troops that had gathered to kill Imam al-Hussein and to shed his blood, along with the 120 odd people that were with him, they put that figure at a staggering 1 million. Some say that the army, how far is Karbala from Kufa? About 90 kilometers. Some say that the front of the army was in Karbala fighting Imam al-Hussein in the afternoon of Ashura, and the back of the army was still in Kufa. 1,000,000. So Imam al-Hussein accepted his condition. He said, fine. When he realized that he was up against a massive, colossal force with no intention but to crush Abi Abdullah al-Hussein in his camp, he came to the Imam and he said to him, do you remember my condition? The Imam said, yes. He said, it doesn't look like I'm going to be able to save your life. So may I be relieved? The Imam said, sure. Some of the people who joined Imam Hussein's camp probably had somewhat, I don't know if I could use this term, but somewhat sincere love towards Imam al-Hussein. As in, yes, he's a great companion, he's a grandson of the Prophet and all that. There were people on the day of Ashura who would stand, they were seen standing on the cliffs surrounding the area, observing the battle. They went up to them and said, what are you doing? They said, we are here, standing on these cliffs, praying to the Almighty Allah. نَشْتَهِدُ بِالدُّعَاءِ إِلَى اللَّهِ لِيَنْصُرَ الْحُسَيْنِ We're praying to God to support Imam al-Hussein. They would say to them, أَفَلَا تُقَاتِلُونَ بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ If you're that sincere about your love towards Imam al-Hussein, why don't you go join him and fight his enemies? They'd say, نَفْسُنَا لَا تُطَاوِعُنَا عَلَى ذَلِكَ We just don't feel that that would be the right move for us at this stage. Where are we? Like I said, Imam al-Hussein is the litmus test. Imam al-Hussein is the ultimate gauge. Where are you with regards to Imam al-Hussein? Let me just open a bracket here. Try to enlist yourself. We spoke about this a couple of nights ago. Include your name in the book of Imam al-Hussein. Somehow. Do whatever it takes. Carry out the simplest of all tasks. Somehow make sure your name is mentioned in the book of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. They say, someone went to visit a sick person in the hospital. As soon as he walked in, this sick man, who was pretty much on his deathbed, he had cancer, it was advanced in its stages. He told this visitor of his, he said, why don't you sit down, I want to recite a majlis for you, for Imam al-Hussein. The man said to him, but you're not a reciter. You've never been known as a reciter. He said, well, you know what? Last night I saw this dream. It was the day of judgment. There was hell right there in front of us, devouring the non-believers. There was heaven on this side. And to heaven, there were two lanes. There was, you know, the normal lane for people to go towards heaven, be judged, go through all those different stages until they reach the gates of paradise. And there was a fast lane. I noticed the fast lane. People were just, they were whizzing by. They were going towards heaven and walking in, no questions asked. So I wanted to go into that lane when suddenly there were angels who stopped me. I said, why can't I go with those people? Why can't I join them in the fast lane? They said, because that fast lane is for the servants of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. Notice how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala glorifies Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. He said to God, in kana hadha yurdhik fakhudh hatta tarda. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to say, ana radhan anka ya Aba Abdullah. I'm pleased with you. Take whatever you want. So he gives him a fast lane towards heaven. All you have to do is do something for Imam al-Hussein. So the man says, in my dream, I said to the